Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Let's Talk About It. You are listening to the 1038th episode on Purpose Kingdom Network. I'm your girl, Adrienne Misunderstanding Valley, and next to me, I got Sister Mima Janice Hudson.
Mima. Amen. Praise the Lord.
And I got Pastor Tali Chappy Choi Daly.
Hey, hey. Hey, hey, everybody. Praise the Lord. How are y'all this evening?
Well, I'm sure they all said, we good, girl. If you are getting ready to get to your table, hurry up and get to your table. Make the calls that you need to make the calls to so that everybody will know that we are about to go on and we are about to go in. We only have a little bit of time, and we have a lot to talk about. So, if you are listening out there via any social media site and you would like to call us live on the air, the number to call in is 319-527-6091. Or you could call 323-870-4174. If you are impaled, please press 1. Come on in, sit down, have a seat. Make a comment, you know, ask for prayer. We're definitely always here for that. But right now, what we need to do before we set anything else afire, let's set the atmosphere clear. Let's let the devil know. Because I know he done tried it with me. So if he tried it with me, I'm sure he has tried it with somebody. I know he tries it with me hard, big. But every night, I take privilege in it to call in and let the devil know, ha-ha, not tonight.
Not tonight.
So who going to do it? Chappy, that sound like you. Oh, she got the y'all. Get ready.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, God. Father God, we come before you this evening, blessing and praising your holy name. We enter into your courts with thanksgiving, and we enter into your gates with praise, Lord. We just bless you, God, for everything that you have done, everything that you are doing. We bless you, God, for the life that runs through our body, for every breath we take. We bless you for the gift of life, Father God. We bless you, Father God, for the blood that runs through our veins, Father. We bless you, Father God, for the provisions that you have made, Father. We bless you, Father, for the provisions we are yet waiting for you to make, Father. We bless you in expectation of the move of God that is to take place. We say thank you, Father. Hallelujah, God. Then, God, we ask that you will search through each and every one of our hearts joined here this evening connectively, Father God, that you will look through us, search us through and through, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, that you would search out any sins that we may have committed, Lord, through thought, deed, or action, God. Father, knowingly or unknowingly, Father, sins of omission as well as sins of commission, Father, we ask them as we bring them before you this evening for your forgiveness, Father, and that you would cast them into yonder sea of forgetfulness in the mighty name of Jesus. Then, Lord, we come, Father, asking that you would just look down on your people this evening, God. You know what each and every one is going through. You know each and every trick of the enemy. You see each and every stumbling block that has been laid before them. You see and know every mountain that has been set up by the enemy for them to climb. But we declare and decree right now in the name of Jesus that it shall fail. Mountains shall fall and be moved. Stumbling blocks shall be removed. Naysayers shall become yea-sayers in the mighty name of Jesus. That your word will go forward in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. That the tricks of the enemy shall not prosper in the mighty name of Jesus. Depression shall have no place no longer in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. That spirit of bondage will have no place no more in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. For you said there is power in the name of Jesus, that in the name of Jesus that demons must flee. So we plead the name of Jesus this evening, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, that spirit of confusion must leave right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God.
Yes, Lord.
We come with a praise, Lord, no matter what our situation. We come with a hallelujah, a praise on our lips this evening, God. Knowing that even what we don't understand right now, you will give us the understanding for in your time. Knowing that all things work together for the good of those who are called by your name and who are chosen in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah, God. We say thank you. Father, we command in the name of Jesus that the enemy be held at bay long enough this evening, that as we discuss current situations from a biblical view, Lord, that you will allow some lost soul to have a desire to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, to know that Jesus that we talk about. It is in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Hallelujah, Lord. Amen.
The name of Jesus is so sweet. Jesus. I love His music to repeat. It makes my joy full and complete. Oh, praise that name, that lovely name of Jesus. Oh, Jesus! Don't you do
your
it?
God.
Y'all don't understand. You
your
don't
God.
Understand sometimes what it looks like, how it works. Oh, my God, if you are out there tonight and you are listening for the first time, the best thing I can tell you is welcome to the kingdom. You are listening to the 1038th episode, and I'm telling you, you need to check them out. Every night, if we can win one soul to Christ, then every night, we win. One thing for sure and two things for certain, there's a lot of stuff going on right now, and if and I'm telling you, the best way I can say it is if you ain't anchored in something, you got to be flying all around. Because this thing is going from to and fro and back and forth. You got people dying. You got people lying. You got all kinds of stuff is going on. You, honey. When I tell you that we are looking at a time right now where if we don't do anything else, we got to put our trust in the only thing that's going to make it right. I know somebody just got a thing because, you know, it's not the only thing. Everybody always got something about the only, because you shouldn't say only. Those are the things you learn. Don't ever say only, and it always says never, and all those kinds of things. You know, they're always wrong statements.
Amen.
But this is something that is so serious. No matter how you look at it, no matter which way you come at it, once you peel all the layers down and you get to all of the people and why they mad and everything and who did what and how they did it and how they went through it, at the end of the day, if we all go back to the common of who we are, you know, humans, not a race. Somebody asked me one day, what is my race? I say human. They laughed at me. I said, I'm sorry, baby. What was I supposed to say? You said, what is my race? Human. Ain't that the answer?
Amen.
He was laughing. I said, there is another answer to this? Because if there is, please let me know. Because who we are is about the situations that we've gone through, the things that we've been allowed to see, the things that we've made it through. But at the end of the day, if it says that we were formed, he knows our beginning and ending, then that says that the thing that doesn't make sense to you, that need to make sense to you, because it made sense to him. And we are doing his thing. But if we're not looking at him, it might get confused. It might actually look like we are under attack. It might look like we're losing a battle, or I shouldn't say a battle, a war, because, you know, you ain't got to win every battle in the war, because that ain't how the war really works. You don't win every battle.
Amen.
Right, right.
But you will win the war. Do you understand that? So if you retreat, it's okay to retreat, because you're retreating to go back to where it is that you need to go. And that's the source. That's your word.
Amen.
And then when you come, y'all better say something at this table. I told y'all. But no, we got some serious things going on, because honest to God, it's right now, like, we have a major issue going on, because there's a problem, because the people tell you, or I should say not the people, but the word says that whosoever will believeth in him shall have eternal life, right?
Amen.
Right.
But when you walk into certain places, i.e. most, you know, a lot of churches, a lot of places of worship, you know, the place that they call the place that the people meet to call what they call worship.
Mm-hmm.
When you walk in there for the help, when you walk in there for the need, when you walk in there because you're hungry and you know that that is where they said that you need to go to eat, and you get there and three people told you that they was giving the food out. Three people told you to go up there and make sure you just go in there, sign your name, and they're going to call you in the back. But when you got up there, it looked like the food was gone. I don't know if I said it right, but
I hear you, buddy. How about we go in there on faith and putting our trust in God, you know, not in man? You know, because putting our trust in a man, we're going to be failed all the time, you know. And being failed by man is, like, really discouraging. But when we put our faith in God and trust in God, then everything's going to be all right. Because you walk in faith, you know. And what we sometimes do is put our trust in man. But when you think about it, you know, you just have to keep on praying and pressing on, you know, like in Psalms 28:7 says, it tells us that the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart is trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him. So with that being said, you know, the praising and trusting in God and getting that feeling in him and getting that feeling in yourself and knowing that there's a God. So I'm going to trust that I'm going to walk in here when I done saw thousands of people walk in this place, and I'm so hungry. And I saw thousands of people walk in this place, and this place says can feed at least 50 free. But I'm the 1,000 person that walks in. So I walk in, and I walk in on my faith. And walking in on my faith, there go my plate right there, you know. So walking in on faith and trusting in God, we have to. Because trusting in man, we surely going to fall, you know. There's so much we don't know about how our lives are going to turn out. But God does know, and he can guide us forward on our journey if we have faith and just trust in him. Amen, sisters?
Amen.
Amen.
I say amen to it because at the end of the day, I think that's why I say I'm like, okay. No, but you got to understand exactly where she comes from, because have you ever been in a situation where someone really told you? No, it's not even that they tell you that they got you. It's you tell them that you need them. And I need you to do this. And then they say, all right, I got you. But then, like, the day that you call to get it, they be like, oh, you should have called me yesterday, girl. I just. And you're thinking, but we've already had this conversation. Now, mind you, you can't call the person that you were supposed to give the money to and let them know the same thing that that person just told you. And it's like, if you really, really sit there and bank on that man, you really might not make it. The man might fall through. And if you put your trust higher than man, at least he might work it and maneuver the man to come to you. Can you
well,
that
that's normally,
look,
yeah, that's normally the case. That's normally the case. You work in mysterious ways. You know, we get to things. We get to life not knowing, you know, going into the unknown, you know. We might not understand God's big plan, but we should trust that he has one. You know, having a plan for us, you know, everything in our lives happened that way for his reasons and for his reasons only. So we have to trust that the God that we serve is awesome and that he will succeed, and we will succeed by trusting him, you know. It is easy to trust God when things are good, going well. But we must believe in him at all times, good and bad, you know. He will be there for us through it all. Amen.
Now,
amen.
You heard that. She said, trust in it. What did she say? Yeah, like Sunday morning. All right, me, Mom, keep it up. Keep it up. But it, you know what's funny though, because we talk right now, we can talk about the issue that happened at the on the Thursday night football NFL, and I'm gonna call you out just like that, because tonight on Let's Talk About It, we would like to have a real conversation and let's talk about it, because the way that this thing has evolved, I think we've lost sight of what is the issue, or maybe the conversation that we should have after a situation like that. Like, what should we be focusing on? Should we be focusing on the actions that happened, like the play for play? How did it go down? Should we be focusing on how did it start? And then all of the reactions and why they reacted the way that they reacted? Or should we just ignore it? I think we've been ignoring it for a little bit too long. And now it's become blatant. And now what has happened is we're missing generations of it. So now the children are starting to believe the things that they see. Mm-hmm. And we can't allow our children to believe the things that they see, because if they start to believe the things that they see, the things that we are supposed to be all about, we'll lose complete sight of that. So the other night, there was a major fight. When you said, I don't want to call it a fight, I want to call it an attack. And then a fight back and a brawl. That's what it looked like to me. But, you know, everybody has their own opinions of how it looked. But what I would like to do tonight is I would actually like to talk about the actual fight itself, the de-escalation situation of everything. What we're going to talk about tonight is everything that happened after a horrific situation, because if you watched it live and you were like me, I mean, I had a whole blackout situation because I didn't know what happened. I thought something was really, really about to go down because it was wrong. It didn't look right. And then when they all start coming and then it was the fight and everything got all crazy and stuff, then it was even worse. But I did watch somebody get separated, and that was the person that was actually the cause of the fight. So that means the cause of the fight got disconnected from the fight. And then the second they got disconnected from the fight, they ran back to the fight. There's really only one person that is really should be held accountable, and that is the person that started the fight, got separated from the fight, and then ran back to the fight. For some odd apparent reason, no one is seeing that, but they are seeing this young man defend himself by swinging a helmet in defense, because you can literally see he's swinging it in defense, not to crack somebody's skull, but maybe if you were trying to snap my neck, I might have cracked this. You know, I don't know. Y'all help me out, because I would like to talk about it. That way the people would start binging about it, because you know what we do on Let's Talk About, everybody then goes back to their networks. So whatever we need to do, NFL got till Thursday to get this straight.
Well, basically is being held to a higher standard. When you're being held to a higher standard, you should be held to a higher punishment. That's basically like having a preacher, or a deaconess, you know. So basically what they expect is for everybody to, all these higher standard peoples to hold their composure. But when you set up in that situation and then you don't know God, you're going to come out in any way, shape, or form known, you know. So his reaction was to, like, hey, hit back. You know, the Bible tells us to turn the other cheek. But this gentleman just was like, oh, there's no such thing as turning the other cheek on my behalf. So that's when we have to have Christ, you know, to be able to control our feelings, to be able to control what's going on. You know, some people can take a smack on the back of the neck and walk away, you know, and just look at it, okay, we're here playing football, and that was just a tackle, or how can you say it, a tackle or a impact of trying to get the football from this here teammate, you know. So before, and instead of letting him make that touchdown, I'll make that touchdown. If he had it took it in that standard, you know, but being held higher, you know, it's a lot of how can I say that? It's a lot of privilege, and being privileged is like, oh, I'm a mini God right here, so I can do what I want to do, and I can say it the way I want to say it, even though that other young man provoked him into hitting him like that, or swinging out like that, you know. So higher privilege, higher standard, higher punishment. Amen.
Amen. I can, to whom much is given, much is required. I agree with that aspect of it. I agree with that aspect of it. I just look at it slightly different, because I look at it then, to whom much is given, much should be required. of everyone across the board.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it seems like one person is being stigmatized. One person got a little pat on the hand. And other folk that was involved, they not even being talked about.
Yeah.
Everybody keep going off about the bomb that exploded. But the last time I looked, if a bomb explodes, the investigators don't go looking for the bomb that exploded. It exploded. They go looking for who planted the bomb, what made the bomb explode, who set this bomb off that injured all these people. And for what Adrian was saying is, if we're de-escalating a situation, then we have to totally de-escalate the situation. De-escalating the situation is not removing one party from the situation and not restraining the other party, because now you're allowing the appearance of further attack to take place. You are now making the party that you are restraining feeling in a jumped, cornered, threatened position and situation. Oh, I'm sorry, y'all. Let me give you some background. I used to work as a disciplinarian in a high school, so I'm not just saying what I think it looks like. I'm telling you where the person in that already highly adrenalated, agitated, frustrated situation can go to. So everyone is looking at his response, but no one is looking at the fact that, number one, we did not properly de-escalate that situation because we only restrained one person.
Mm-hmm.
The proper thing would have been for there not to be a fight at all. After all, this is football. However, if we are going to discipline someone because of the fight, then we have to go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Sister Adrian.
Just because you said it. It is a fight because it's football. Football. They do fight in football, but they fight like it's a rugged thing. It's in the trenches thing. But when the game is over and there is no more fight left, because this fight happened with 8 seconds left in a game that was 14 points away.
What I mean when I say
I just wanted to set up that type of fight.
Because we ain't gonna win the game, but
we gonna win the fight.
But we gonna win the war. Right.
We might not win this game, but we definitely gonna win the fight.
So let me explain what I mean when I say it's a fight. Football is a very aggressive sport. It is a fight, as she just said. Like, I love comparing football with our walk as believers. Jesus Christ, because you have your offensive line and you have your defensive line and then you have your special team. But that's a topic for another, you know, show. But in our walk, we have to fight at all times. We are always either defending our end zone or trying to get down to the next end zone as we move through our Christian walk. And who are we fighting against? The other team is the enemy. Now, what happened that particular day is, understand, Satan ain't stupid. He know what we like. He knows what our triggers are. He know how to mess with our people. He not going to tempt you with something you don't like. If you can't stand the taste of alcohol, he is not going to tempt you with alcohol. If you can't stand sex, he's not going to tempt you with sex. But if you like alcohol, he's going to tempt you with alcohol as much as he can. Not that I'm not saying that it's wrong to have a drink. God's word doesn't say that. It does say it's wrong to be a drunkard. And if you have a problem with alcohol, that's what he's going to tempt you with. If you got a lustful spirit you wrestle with, that's what Satan is going to tempt you with. So now, understand that it has already, I'm going to be in agreement with the media. The man went all the way to the left when he swung that helmet. He went all the way to the left. He might have some temper situations. I don't know because I don't know him personally. He went all the way to the left. But you have to go back and see what made him go all the way to the left.
Oh, yes. Yes, you do.
Nobody
yes,
is looking at the fact that as he was getting tackled by 66, he was turning his helmet in another direction. Nobody saw number 53 punching him in the back and kicking
Amen.
Him. You see it if you look at nothing but the fight
Amen.
And you slow it down a little bit. You see step by step everything and everybody who did what. So if you want to punish the man who swung the helmet, you're supposed to punish everybody involved with that situation.
Amen. Amen.
Everybody.
Agreed. All parties should be held accountable. Agreed. I agree. Yes.
Because at the end of the day, the fight in general was wrong. Because although, yes, football is a fight, it is a fight that is set up within rules, regulations, standards. Yeah, I can hit you. It's called the tackle, but they got certain ways that I have to tackle you. They have certain locations I can't hit you in. I'm not allowed to grab you by your helmet and snatch you down to the ground because that could snap your neck. They have rules in place. Nowhere in football did I see a rule that says this is how you punch jabs to a person as they're going down in the tackle. So just like in our walk as believers in Christ, we have rules. In the sport of football, there are rules. And everyone, God, when, this is why I love God. See, man judges, and man judges based off of whatever little isms and schisms they got going on in their head. God gonna judge everybody down their line, everybody for every little part you played and whatever it was he's judging at the time that he's judging. That's why he tells us be careful what we say out our mouths. You don't know what seed you done planted. Now, what I'm about to say next, I'm first going to say this is not the beliefs of Purpose Kingdom Network or of Let's Talk About It or of Sister Adrian or Sister Janice. I'm just speaking for me. The fight itself is wrong, but because I'm the type of person that I never want my walk to cause anybody to fall, I'm going to let y'all know I'm not at turn the other cheek yet. I never want y'all to see me swing back and go, oh, but she said the fight is wrong. And when I swing back, I'm going to be just as wrong. However, I'm just letting y'all know I'm not at turn the other cheek yet. So I can understand, because I'm not there, I can understand that once that young man got into that fight mode and felt like he was being restrained as whatever was going on the ground was going on, and then everyone broke it up, and this man that already felt like he was being attacked was now being restrained and moved off of the field, and the person who he felt as though had attacked him is now following behind him as he is restrained, and the only thing that is free is his arm, and he turned around and swung it. But everybody want to say he the demon. Y'all better roll them tapes back. Like Sister Adrian said in the NFL, y'all got some explaining to do. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But that brings me to the next thing that says that, why can that even happen? How can that even happen? What is it about us as a people that when those types of things happen, it's like we escalate them even more? You know, back in the day, it was a fight. They didn't want to talk about the fight. The people that were in the fight talked about the fight, and the people that seen it talked about the fight. But the administration around you was telling you that you weren't even allowed to reference that fight. Because at the end of the day, if you continuously talk about the fight, all it's going to do is keep tensions high and then make people want to fight more. Then they'd be looking for a fight. And then if we now can see it in our streets, in our neighborhoods, and then we watch it on the news every day, and now we're actually watching it during our sports entertainment, are you serious? Like, I mean, and I understand that it's going to happen because guess what? We are precious. You know how it says all are precious in his sight? Jesus loves all the little children of the world. We're precious. And because we are that precious, is that real right now? We are losing our children. We're losing our babies, y'all. We can't even watch a real football game with our kids anymore because that kind of stuff, first of all, like I said, the NFL deserves Miles Rudolph or whatever his name is, Mason Rudolph. Yeah, you?
No.
Mason Rudolph is the quarterback. That was the person
right.
that initiated this whole entire thing. This is who I'm talking to. Because we have a problem because at the end of the day, if there is something else rooted between why you're doing what you're doing and what you're doing it for, we ain't never going to get to the bottom of the truth of it. You know what I mean? Shining a light on something.
Well, actually,
if we already
know
what you're saying?
I'm sorry. Actually, it's originally it's a game, a tournament, fun-friendly competition. You know, it's hard to hear the spirit when emotions are high. You know, so we have to remember that some of those emotions belong to Satan: fear, impatience, loss, hope. Satan is everywhere, including the fields. So, you know, we have to show our children, especially if we got our children watching the games with us, because I do sit down with the children and with my husband and my grandchildren, especially my 11-year-old. He's deeply into the game, and for him to see that, you know, and being taught one way, I had to just put him aside and let him know, you know, it's just a game, you know, and that's what they do. Everybody gets angry and gets upset, you know. But Pastor Toy says, you know, it's hard to just turn the other cheek, and she's not at the turning the cheek right now, you know. Believe me, I'm not at turning the cheek either, you know. I'm not saying that, oh, you hit me upside my head, I'm just holding my head and keep it moving, you know. I'm going to do what I got to do, and I'm going to go and pray and ask God to forgive me, and hopefully that I can keep my job. You know what I mean?
Hopefully I can keep my job. But you know what? I get what Adrian was saying also, because basically that quarterback needs to be held accountable also. He needs to be held at the same standard that the other guy is being held to. And then should be, because he's the captain, isn't he? Isn't the quarterback?
There's only the
captain,
right?
Of the team?
You cannot discipline the reaction without disciplining the action. Because if you say, "Well, why are you in trouble?" you have to know why I'm in trouble. Because I was defending myself. And the difference is when you have to be okay. So what happened was, how it went down, what I'm looking and what I'm seeing is the first initial comment from Myles Garrett was the truth, because he said he blacked out.
I see.
And I was with him with that, because I blacked out when I watched it. You understand?
Right.
Because if there's a moment in there where something is happening and you feel as though something happened, I blacked out. That's how the man got off. That's how Zimmerman got off from killing Trayvon.
Mm-hmm.
This is how police officers are saying that they felt threatened when they gun our children down in the street. It's the same situation, but now it's different, and we don't even see it different. We're just appalled and offended that it happened. When is someone going to speak up for the people that's standing on right? Not white, but right. And that's what I believe. Let's talk about it. We're sitting at this table tonight because someone is out there and they are listening. And they are talking back to this television or the computer or the phone or however you want to do it. If you need to press 1 to get it off of your chest, please press 1. Because what the enemy is doing is the enemy is just allowing you to see it and see it and see it and see it and see it. And if you don't have a place to actually take it and get it off,
it starts to compound on you, and then you have nothing else but negative thoughts. You don't even realize that you're telling the people that they're about to go and hit the wall. So it's like we have that situation over there, but then you look over at Washington and say, do we even want to talk about what they going, what's talking about over there? Now you can see more of how it's a setup, because they want you to look over what's going on in the Middle East, but we got kids being shot down on the street. But you know they are getting shot down on the street in Iraq, and you know what I mean? That's what the kids are doing there. So everything that we see, and we're like, I can't believe it. Oh, my God. The world is seeing it. We have never seen it, but now we're seeing it. We need to claim our victory over all of it before it consumes more of us. Miles Garrett, we love you, bruh. We standing in the gap for you right now. The world is treating you like you some type of an animal. We here at PKN, we invite you to call in and say what you got to say to the world. I don't know if that'll mess your contract up, but as far as I'm concerned, I don't even want to watch the NFL. You know how we were talking about we want to boycott the NFL and we ain't going to do this and we ain't going to do that? See, the joke that Kaepernick now is on his way back to the NFL. If y'all don't stop playing with my people, stop playing with the people. It will not happen. Adrian Misunderstandings, Allen, Mima, Janice, Hudson, Chappie, Troy, Pastor, Tylene, Daly. We ain't doing that. Let's talk about it. Is the place where we can say, guess what? Once it hit the table, y'all going to fix this. Once it hit the table, y'all going to fix this. Because if it was the other way around, we would see it every day. If it was the other way around, we would be talking about how this man was crazy and this, that, and the other thing, and all of these things happened because of this, and they would have all of these reasons and excuses. Well, what's the reason and excuse for acting like it didn't happen? What's the reason and excuse for telling the man that he can't tell you exactly what happened, but he actually has to apologize? What's the reason for we to see something and then he has to get on the thing and tell them that he was in a selfish mode? What makes it selfish when I'm trying to defend myself? I guess it is selfish. If you think about it, now that I say it all the way out loud, it's very selfish because you're trying to save your life, right?
Yeah. Well, see. Well, that's it. We can't keep pressing. Yeah, I apologize, Pastor. You know, but I'm in one mindset right now, you know, and my mindset is like basically, you know, we can't keep passing these evil spirits around. You know, remind believers to pray. You know, even while upset, just pray. Realize that you are in danger as you are becoming angered. You know, by these unfortunate circumstances. So we have to, like, keep it in prayer. You know, I know a lot of NFL men, a lot of them do pray and do have Christ in their lives, you know. So right now what I'm going at is putting out trust in God, you know, and trusting God wholeheartedly, you know, and things will turn around, you know, because I have been in so many situations, as I'm quite sure you ladies have been too, you know, but I always find ease in my prayers and my trust, you know, and just going forth throughout it and asking God to just hold my hand, you know, hold me back from what I really want to do, you know. But that's part of my past that I really didn't care for, and I don't bring that part of my past in my life, you know. But being of the world, we do sometimes do those things, you know.
That and that's what you do that's different. And you, when you find yourself wrestling with a situation, whether it's you're wrestling with anger, if you're wrestling with resentfulness, whatever it might be, like you said, I take it to the Lord. The problem is we have stopped taking things to the Lord.
Amen.
We are so busy. We've gotten so good at wearing our Sunday or our Sabbath day mask that
Amen.
We don't even take it off during the week no more. We just so yeah. busy pretending that we're somewhere that we're not. And
Amen.
Truth be told, we're dealing with some real stuff inside, but we're
yeah.
afraid to admit that we're dealing with some real stuff because we're saved. And you know, if you turn on the TV, everybody is talking about, well, if you saved, you live in this abundant life and you doing this, that, and the other, and God is supplying each and every need, and you have no problems and concerns and no worries. And you sitting there going, well, wait a minute, I'm saved, and I'm waiting for God to let me know how we gonna handle this, this, and this. And I'm saved, I know I'm saved, I know, because I know it's God that brought me to right here. But I'm
mm-hmm.
dealing with this sickness or that illness. What you talking about, preacher? So the problem is that we so busy trying to keep our mask on that we not being real. And, you know, we done got so good at faking out the folk that we worship with that now we trying to fake out God. Because if we think back 2 weeks ago, Adrian had asked the question. She said, what did we do to stop it? 2 weeks ago, we were talking about Saul and Paul in the conversion. And we were talking about how, you know, before Saul had his Damascus Road experience, he was going around killing anyone who was found to be in the way. That means believers in Christ, in Jesus
right.
Christ. But after his Damascus Road experience, he became Paul and wanted to
mm-hmm.
spread the word of Jesus Christ. However,
mm-hmm.
it took a second before folk was willing to listen to Paul because they did not see Paul at first. They still saw Saul, the man who was coming to kill them. So it's like we said that sometimes we plant seeds and harvest when before our Damascus Road experience and
okay.
after our Damascus Road experience, now those seeds we planted when we were in our sinful state are full-blown, blossomed harvests, and now we got to cut them down. Well,
mm-hmm.
truthfully, this thing of violence that we're dealing with, the way that our children and our grandchildren are, the way that the young adults of today are, I hate to say it, but that blame falls back on our generation because
yeah, yeah.
we rebelled so strongly against
mm-hmm.
the teachings of our parents that, you know, we not going to parent
That's
our
right.
child. We going to be our child's
That's
friend.
Right.
We not going to discipline our child. We're just going to talk to our child and we're going to get them to understand and come around to our way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
No. So we planted this seed of, oh no, not my child. My child didn't do anything wrong. And who are you to talk back to my child? My child got a right to tell you what their opinion is. I don't care what position you hold or authority you are. Or da, 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 da. And now our children are grown with children of their own.
Mm-hmm.
And we're sitting staring in disbelief going, oh my God, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
What happened is now we got to cut down the harvest that we've sown.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not hard to cut it
That's
down.
Right. That's
it's
right.
not hard to cut it down. We have the tool that we need. The tool that we need is the word of God. He tells us in his word that his word is like a two-edged sword. It cuts going and coming.
Amen.
So understand, see, that's the first problem. It's a two-edged sword. So it cuts
mm-hmm.
as it's leaving and it cuts as it comes back.
The yeah.
problem is that means the person swinging that sword getting ready to get cut twice.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is we so afraid of the cut of the sword that we won't pick up the sword and start cutting down that harvest that we need to cut down.
But you know it's funny because when you get cut, you'll bleed. And if you cut, you bleed. Then you see the blood. Then you understand. Then you understand.
You got to understand, and I'm glad you went there because you're right. Amen. When you cut, you bleed. But when you give your life to Christ, you won't bleed anyway because you have to go through what we call a spiritual transfusion.
Amen.
The songwriter said, the blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, it will never lose its power.
Never.
See, that blood that runs through our bodies has to be transfused with the blood that Jesus shed for us. And it can only take place through faith.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is we think faith is too simplistic for us to even want to apply it to our lives. We think that it's something that we have to do. We think that, God is too holy. God is too deep. God is too this. God is too that. Yes, he is all of that stuff. But you know what you're forgetting in all of what you're saying? God is also too loving.
Too loving.
And he is so loving that he himself realized that I'm too holy. I'm too deep. I'm too infinite. I'm too untouchable for the creation that I love, because they've fallen from the first state that I put them in. How do I get them back? I go get them back. We forget that he is too much of love.
Mm-hmm.
Just like his wisdom is infinite, his love is infinite.
It's infinite. Amen.
His love is so strong that he stepped down off his throne in glory and placed the peace of him in flesh. You know what? It's funny because I had a minister ask me one time, why do you keep saying that he put a piece of him in flesh? Well, I always say he put his power in flesh. And the reason I say he put his power in flesh is because I know that when his power was in flesh, your power can't work or operate without you. That's how come every time Jesus said or did anything, he started off with saying, Father, I got to connect back to the source of my power. Father. That's where we mess up at, because we never want to connect back to the source of our power. Father.
Amen.
And then some of us is messing up because we're trying to connect back to the source of our power, our Father, but we're trying to do it in the wrong type of power socket, and we keep getting shortchanged.
Wait a minute. Before you get any shortchanger, if you're listening right now, the number to call in is 319-527-6091 or 323-870-4174. The reason why I'm saying that now is because at 10 o'clock, if you are listening to us via any social media site, you will be kicked off, like it will just cut off at 10 o'clock. So if you call in now, that way you'll be able to catch the show in its entirety. I'm sorry, I didn't want I didn't want nobody to get shortchanged out of that because they were going to get real good and it was about to get real juicy. And you know how you be finessing them and everything, and then you was going to go to the finesse and it was going to cut off. So I ain't want nobody to call. I love everybody.
Amen. So we got to connect back to the source of our power, which is our Father. And the problem that we run into is we are trying to go off of our own power.
Amen.
And yes, we might have a little bit of power running through us, but imagine the surge of power you get when you are connected to the power source. Have you ever had the electricity go out in your house? The lights stay on for a split second after the electricity in the house goes out. the television light. Although the television may go black, there's a thin light that stays on a few seconds right after the lights go out in your house. Why? Because there is still some power connected to it. But until you get the power source connections back to running through the wires in that house, the electricity is not going to stay on for long. Some of us are running short on our electrical power, our spiritual electrical power, because we will not connect back into the Father. And some of us are trying to connect to the Father. We just putting our plug in the wrong type of socket. When I was growing up, you had like them three-prong sockets. They handled one type of current. Then you had the two-prong sockets. They handled a different type of current. And if you ever put the two-prong socket, I tried to get a three-prong socket and a two-prong socket thing, you was going to get some energy shocks and all this other stuff because you're trying to get the wrong type of connection.
Amen.
And here go the funny part. God gave us the connection.
Yes, he did.
He gave us the connection. It's just like modern times. I thought there was different type of sockets, but now majority of the sockets are all the same across the board. It's the wiring inside the walls that are different. So you can plug anything into anything just about. What that means? How's that got anything to do with God giving us the connection? Just like the electric company went through and changed all the wiring codes and things like that so that everything could connect into that one thing, God came down and changed all the wiring codes so that everything could connect back through him, and he did it through his son, Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus say, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man gets into the Father except through me. He is the connection.
Yes, Lord.
And tonight you can decide that you are going to put your trust totally in God. Tonight you can say, you know what, they was talking about the injustice that's going on with the NFL right now, and talks a little bit about some of the injustice that's going on around the world and all of this other stuff, but they kept going back to God. They kept going back to Jesus. They kept going back to how he can give you peace. They kept going back to how he can give you control if you give stuff to him. I want to know something about that Jesus they're talking about. I want to be connected to that God they keep referring to. Tonight is your night to make that connection.
Make it.
You just simply, according to God's word, have to believe in your heart and you confess it out your mouth that you believe that Jesus Christ, and I'm paraphrasing it, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he lived on this earth, that he laid his life down for our sins, that he rose from the grave, and that he ascended back unto the Father. If you can believe that in your heart and you are willing to confess it out of your mouth, you just say this simple prayer along with me. You just say, Father God, I come to you this evening accepting Jesus Christ into my life. I agree with your word that I am a sinner needing to be saved.
Yes.
I ask you to forgive me of my sins. In Jesus' name, I ask you to make me new, starting right now. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you said that prayer, believing it in your heart, then you just tell somebody. You can look, you don't have to wait till Sunday morning worship, Sabbath morning worship, prayer service, Bible study. You don't have to wait until none of that. The Word of God didn't say you had to wait for the next congregation to come together. He just said that you had to confess it out of your mouth. Just go tell somebody, hey, I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. You can go tell somebody if it's someone in the house with you. You can call somebody up on the phone and tell them. You can send a text message out, bless God, say it while you're texting it, and push send, amen. Go outside if you have nobody to tell and scream at the top of your lungs, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Somebody will hear you. But as soon as you said it out of your mouth, bless God. Welcome to the kingdom of God. You are saved. Now, we encourage you to find the Bible Believing Teaching Preaching Sanctuary, where you can grow in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and heal from the trials and the tribulations of this world. But if for some reason you cannot bless God, that is why he has Purpose Kingdom Network here for you. Our very own brother Robert Pop Hudson is going to come on, and he is going to give you some information on how you can follow Purpose Kingdom Network as well as our next broadcast. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And real quickly, I'll go ahead and I'll get into our announcements. This is a part of the Purpose Kingdom Network. We thank each and every one of you for joining us for tonight's episode. We thank you so much. Whether you join us online or via phone, is much appreciated for your listenership. All right. And real quickly, if you want to correspond with us here at Purpose Kingdom Network, you can correspond with us here at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com, where you can send your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply send a prayer request. You can simply say hello. We gladly appreciate your correspondence here at Purpose Kingdom Network. We're also on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom. And if you want to hear any of our broadcasts, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom, where you can simply hit or type in the host name or the show name, and you can hear that show in its entirety, and that's your convenience. And we appreciate you for doing that also. We invite you to like us on Facebook, where you can see our upcoming advertisements and some of our upcoming shows. That way you know our show times and our upcoming show appearance. And we thank you so much for doing so. Well, God's will and God's blessing. We hope you join us tomorrow evening for One Touch Transformations. And that is hosted by Minister Arthenius Jackson. And once again, with God's will and God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour for One Touch Transformations. And that's going to be hosted by Arthenius Jackson, Minister Arthenius Jackson, at the 9 p.m. hour. And with that being said, we hope you enjoy tonight's program. And as always, we thank you to invite a friend the next time you listen to Purpose Kingdom Network. And with that being said, the show is going to be handed over to our ladies, and let's talk about it.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Papa. Since we're still on the line, before we finish, you know, we got to take it back. We'll never leave without taking something back. And it's funny because I want to take back A Time to Kill. Like, stop doing it. How about it? Stop
about
doing
that?
It. And then go back and remember exactly what A Time to Kill was all about. And it was a movie about a black man that ended up, well, it was about a little black girl who got raped and brutalized in all kinds of craziness. And then they left her for dead, but she didn't die. And after her daddy seen her, the only thing he did was grab a gun and went and shot up the people that did it. Simple. But they made it a whole movie because it was a black and white thing. It was wrong and right. It was cultural. And we need to go back to it, y'all. We need to go find A Time to Kill, find what Matthew McConaughey was trying to say, find what Samuel Jackson was trying to say. And we ought to look at it like that, more so looking at it the way that they're showing it to us right now. Because back in the day, we were being entertained when we watched that movie. But if you watch that movie right now, today, we are sitting in those racial tensions. And those racial tensions don't need, they're there, but they need to be dead. They need to be deaded. It's not ever going to happen with one side. Both sides got to go. Everybody's side got to lay down. Somebody got to give, and somebody got to take. It's got to happen. The only way that it happens. But because of the fact that we get an opportunity, ladies, to sit at this table, I just need y'all to know that the NFL has just stated that on Wednesday –